I'm Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is what I think.
So my vape case came in. You heard it here. Okay, so Amazon package. There's a vape case in there. Now, in case you guys don't know what a vape case is, it's not exactly brain surgery. Vaping, it's what the kids are doing. And a case holds the vape. I mean, if you're going to be vaping, you can't just shove that thing in your pocket. It could get broken. This is valuable stuff. And you don't want to, you know, risk it. So you buy a case and then you put the vape in there and you got your extra cartridges. I'm still, by the way, in this 20 seconds in of pretending that I know any substantial amount about vaping, but just work with me here. Amazon package, padded envelope. Again, I get home and I see this envelope on the counter and it's partially opened. And, you know, we order stuff from Amazon on occasion. And I go over there, it's on the counter, I figure it's for me, I open it, and there's a vape case in there. And I go, what the heck is this vape case doing? And I quickly look at the envelope, and it's to a neighbor, not to us, got delivered to us by mistake. I'm not patting myself on the back, I'm not tooting my own horn, as it were, but there was about a 5 second delay of me going, why is there a vape case? Let me look at the address. Surely it can't be to us, because that would be weird. We're not exactly the vape type of family. I know that's stereotyping, but let's face it, there's a vape type of a family. Am I right? They probably drive Dodge Chargers. Look, I don't want to get controversial here. Now, I want to be clear about this. This vape case sat on our counter for 2 days. I was out of town. I was speaking in San Francisco. It came in the day that I left, and I got back that the next day evening, and it was still there. So I said, oh, this isn't the right address. And my wife goes, oh, I didn't even notice the address. And I said, well, what did you think was happening when a vape case showed up in a padded envelope? And she responded, I don't know what the hell you order. So 25 years of marriage, and my wife entertained the possibility for a couple days that I might have ordered a vape case. She didn't think to look at the address or look on Amazon. Just, it's one of those crazy things that Sid orders. I don't know what's going on with that. Now, I will say that if I were vaping, I would use a vape case. I mean, back in the day, Los Angeles, when I was, you know, smoking the cigarettes now and then, I would roll my own quite frequently with a filter. That makes cigarettes healthy, by the way. You heard it here first. You roll them with a filter, all of a sudden, they're not just less bad, they're actually healthy. Look, there's science on it. You guys Google that. But I would roll them with this rolling machine. They'd be perfect. Nice cylinder. And I'd get this organic tobacco blend from this local pipe shop thing in San, really old school. And I'd have a little case and I would put the cigarettes in there. And then I would go to a party or whatever and smoke my fixed number of cigarettes. Look, I'm not bragging. Is it old school? Sure, I had a nice old classic Zippo lighter. There was some coolness there. Ignorance is bliss on that. I'm getting into that, by the way. You think I didn't segue that on purpose? I did. Anyway, that's the vape case story. I just have to deliver it to the people who are rightfully the owners of this vape case, and I hope they'll be excited and use it well. I looked back in my past, and there's been some things I've ordered along the way, especially in my research nutritionally, some sort of powder type things and pills along the way, and most recently a 50-pound weight vest. Things are showing up on occasion. A sauna, for instance. Things are showing up on occasion. It's not unheard of that my wife would go, yeah, he's vaping some spirulina. He's going to vape spirulina. Maybe that's what Sid is up to now. I don't know. Is probably what she was thinking. And I wouldn't put it past myself. Let me write that down. I got a vape spirulina. I could be onto something, you guys. I want to talk about this day of episodes. Life in general, as I will. Politics, I'll dive in on that on occasion. Kind of boring me these days. It's so I look at the world now and I'm like, it's all reaction. Action has been replaced by reaction. It's all we do now. All the news, this is reaction. This happened and here's how we're going to react to it. In the political spectrum, it's like, we're going to react to that and we're going to react to that. And then, well, what are you guys going to do? Well, right now we're just reacting. We don't have any ideas of our own, but we're just going to react to that stuff that's happening. We're going to react to that. Is that okay? Yes, because that gets everybody riled and they'll click on it. So yes, keep reacting. That's going to definitely move us forward as a people. What? Ooh. This episode is titled Why Oh Why. I want to talk about the why of the way that we live. And like some episodes that I will do in this show and my last show, I don't have a definitive answer. I haven't like, yes, this is the deal, but I have a general opinion about this and an idea of as a small steps coach and somebody who is helping people find out their ideal life, because I think that any move to improve your life without a very specific ideal is going to be a really, really rough go, because you're going to sort of bounce around. And it's providing a direction, and that is the why of this. And I think we often stop short of asking the why. We stop at, I want to lose weight. Well, why? And that's as I ask people why, and then hopefully train them to ask themselves forever, never to stop. Anything you do, why? Why am I doing this? Is this serving me in a real way, in a not a greedy short-term pleasure way, but is this serving me? Why am I doing this? Why would I do this? If you don't know why you're doing anything, it's going to be rough. But before I even get to that, and it's related to it, because the why is what? It's knowledge. When you have that answer, when you know why you're doing something, whatever that reason is for you, that is increased knowledge. And I think that knowledge is such a if you've heard me before, I definitely train people and work in my own life to figure out when I know enough to then begin to act and when I need to know more. I think definitely in the nutritional world, the trend, in my opinion, is over information. It is becoming too knowledgeable to the point where you never act. And so there's a fine balance there. How do you know how to get out of it? Well, you know, when you focus on the why and you go like, look, I did this because I want to live better and be happier and have more energy and travel. I know enough to do that now. If you don't have that why dialed in, well, I got to go to one more lecture. I got to go to one more talk. I got to go to one more. I got to read one more book. You lose sight of the why you did this in the first place. This is populating many, if not most, if not all of my talks of the last couple of years, is don't forget the why of this. Now, I'm speaking at veg shows, so I'm talking to people who are plant-based and vegan or whatever, however you want to phrase it. But the fact of the matter is I'm meeting more and more of them being an indefinable, whatever, people who made this choice to eat this way, live this way, who have, in my opinion, forgotten the why, or at least aren't remembering it enough often enough to bring the joy of this decision into their lives. That's a problem for me, because I don't want to live in that kind of world where I'm surrounded by people who are pissed at the very choices they made themselves. I certainly don't want to be pissed at any of the choices I've made myself. So I have to work myself to remind myself of the why of this. It's what gets me up in the morning to go for a run when I would in the moment rather not get up. It's the why of that. If it's that I want to have a resting heart rate of 50, that's not going to do. Ultimately, that's not going to do it. That's not going to get it up. If I have the bigger picture items in the forefront in my actions, then I'm getting out of bed and I'm enjoying it. I think that there's a crappy life to be lived if you are living in an ignorant sort of I don't want to know more state, to be sure. I think there's a crappy life to be lived if you do know, and this is where it gets tricky, if you do know and then you live like you don't. And this is sort of a separate issue, but I'm getting right into this, because this is the knowledge, sort of another leg of knowledge, which is you learn something and then you don't act on it. It's like, I don't think ignorance is bliss. I don't think being ignorant is bliss. When I want to talk about and think about bliss, what I think about is purpose and meaning. I think about the pain and hard work so we can earn our lives. That to me is bliss, and I think that it's a purposeful, directional way to live. Again, as you know more about the life you want to live, you have a very, very, a more clear direction to move in. But it also opens up this sort of bad news scenario where if you find that out and then do nothing to move toward it day to day, you suffer. And you suffer maybe even more than when you didn't know in the first place. Hard to say. I don't want to quantify. Don't care. I do know when the Pandora's box of your ideals is opened, your principles is opened, and you choose to do nothing about it, man, you're in for a world of pain. I mean, you're in for a world of pain. And by the way, to jump in back into politics, not specifically, but in general, I mean, what I'm seeing in this country is a whole bunch of people who frickin' know better and don't have the courage of their own convictions. That's not does not make for a happy life for them, and it certainly isn't making for a happy society. If you think I'm talking about one side or the other, I ain't. It's all over the place. It's systemic. It is spineless, weak. I know better, but I'm not going to do it because it's not politically expedient or whatever. Yeah, it's insane. I mean, this is going to be sort of placing this podcast in time, but our President Trump declared a national emergency because of the border thing. He's making it up. It's not a national emergency. Is it a problem? Yes, but it's not a national emergency, but he wants to get the money, so he did it. And his own party, a very, very small handful of people went up against him and said, look, this is not appropriate. But here's the thing that they did that is subtle, and it really, really speaks to the state of affairs in this country and the moral character of our leaders. They didn't say, I'm standing up against you because this is wrong. This is not appropriate. It's not how the Constitution was laid out. This is an overreach. What they said was, if we let him do it, then if a Democrat comes into office, he or she could do it. So in other words, if we said, we will guarantee you a Republican president forever, they would say, yeah, go ahead, declare the national emergency. That's called spineless, weak behavior. That's what that is. It's spineless, weak behavior, and they have a reason, a why of that, which is they want to get reelected or whatever, and I think that is a short, it's not enough questions of why. You got to ask about three more times, but why? Why do you want to get reelected? If you stop it, I just want to get reelected, then you'll do anything to get reelected, and that's what's happening. There's no moral compass. There's no direction. If you ask why, well, I want to serve in Senate. Well, why? Well, because I want to make the world a better place. Well, why? Because I live in this country, and I believe in it, et cetera, et cetera. And eventually, you might get to the point where you go, if I understand that why, it is about me taking action to achieve a world that I want to live in. And probably if he or she thinks about that world for 2 seconds, they're going to realize that that world is potentially populated by people who know how to stand up for what is right and wrong in spite of what is necessarily expedient in that moment. That's what this is. Jump back to all of us non-politics who are just living lives. I think there is an incredible life to be had to understand your why, but buckle in, because it's also opening up a world where if you do not take action, you will suffer the consequences. This is the both sides of this picture. I mean, this is opening up information where you can live a very crappy life if you don't act on it, but also a way better life than you ever could before when you didn't know it at all. You have opened up a wide spectrum of quality. You can go very, very bad by not acting on what you know to be right for you and wrong and everything else, and versus acting on it, which is so far better and so far more fulfilling and purposeful and meaningful if you do act. What having that why is the name of the game. I mean, having that why and then maybe writing it down so we don't forget because we're busy with all the things that we do, but having that why, how essential that is day to day. I mean, day to day, how essential that is as it fuels and informs the mundane of our lives, of going to work, of doing things that, all things being equal, we may not want to do. You know, my why that helps fuel me is, you know, setting a good example for my children. Why? Because I want them to grow up with tools to enable them to live a happy life. This enables me to not get stuck in a particular, like, I want my kid to be a doctor per se. because I don't care. I want them to be happy and energetic and have passion. So that means the why of the reason I get up and run, the why of the reason I do this podcast, the why of the reason I do my vlogs, the why of the reason I launch Small Steppers, the why of the reason I work at the resort is to have meaning and purpose, to have meaningful work that is definitely painful at times and struggle rich, but that the payoff is so massively huge so that I can, that can inform my family life and everything else. There's a, I want to be very clear, and I'm always asking what that why is, because certainly I fall into the darkness of why the fuck am I doing this? You know, I'm busting my ass on these YouTube videos and I'm getting, you know, 150 views, which is, you know, all things being equal for YouTube, crappy. You know, like it's, I have to say, why am I doing this? I have to ask these questions. This is the tough thing about this. I mean, this is the struggle about when I told you when I started this, at the I don't have a definitive answer on this. I do know that the knowledge of the why, the getting clear on that is a higher level. And I don't mean in a hippie, hey man, but it's a higher level of consciousness. It's being conscious of the life you want to live and then ramping that up like tenfold so that you are more aware day to day so that that why doesn't get swept up in the madness. Got it? Okay. I'm going to add one more thing, and this is just a pet peeve, and it's probably a semantic issue, so it could be the most irrelevant thing that I'm going to talk about, period. But there's a thing that people always go, like, if you want meaning, like, focus on something outside yourself. So focus on something bigger than you is a constant kind of mantra or mantra, depending on how, you know, you pronounce certain thing. The hardest word for me to pronounce is the word pronounce. Have you ever, it's a rough one. So I've always thought there was a certain triteness to focus on something bigger than yourself, do something bigger than you. I always thought that was a little bit of hippy dippy bullshit. And here's why, because to me, it implies a separation that I actually don't think exists. I think that to grab and hang on to the idea that you as a player are affecting the world in theory to potentially, I don't even know if it's a conscious or subconscious thing, but I think we do act in a way that is, in a way that potentially we do to manifest a world that we want. This is getting deeper psychologically than I'm, for certainly that I've read or even studied. I don't know. It's an inclination that this is all you. It is your thoughts and your perceptions and your reactions, just as it is my thoughts, my perceptions, my reactions, and most importantly, our actions individually. This is the stuff that is why I don't think it's focusing on something outside of you or bigger than you in a way, the way I like to look at it. And again, it could be semantics, but I like looking at our actions as a way of incorporating the world into us to understand that. And by the way, this is totally about the why, because it's how I want my world to be a better place, my family to be happy, my community to be successful. But let's not devalue the my of those sentences. My world to be a better place, my family to be happy, to own the idea that of our place in this world, and to stop this idea of like, it's just focus on something bigger than you. I think we can get lost in that idea or that way of looking at things, because when we look at something and say it's bigger than us, ending world hunger, we quickly go to this, like, well, what the hell am I going to do about it? Like, I can do a little bit, but I can't really do much. Whereas I tend to, in my own practice and my own life of, and my own, how I work with people, is to say, bring this into you. This is the, you know, my Raising Healthy Parents book, like, you know, no wonder it's not selling well. You know, like, it's so much easier in a way to buy a parenting book that says, sit down with your kid and use these following words and your kid will study more. That's a great, you know, how much of a great, it's a diet. It's essentially a parenting version of dieting where you go, just tell me what to do and I'll do it, man. But when you actually try to work with somebody and say, no, you got to ask the questions here. You got to get into you more fully. You have to develop yourself more fully so that you can implement the actions that you may choose, whatever those are, but you've got to get into yourself. You've got to ask the tough questions. You have to know the why. You have to be willing to step up and do the painful work of asking these questions. Focus on your community, helping others, helping make the world a better place. It's all great, but it's starts and I believe ends with you. I think that that is a way of looking at it that keeps you well and significantly in the game instead of lost in a problem that you perceive all of a sudden that just can't be done. Again, it may be semantics. Ultimately, it's going to be whatever works. But even if you say, I'm just focusing on something bigger than myself, but you are still focusing. I mean, you cannot get away from this reality. You cannot get away from the fact that you're the player in your movie, that you're the actor in your movie. And I just am very, very skeptical and hesitant when the move is to make is to minimize the individual, is to shrink the individual, is to make it you smaller, so that when you say focus on something bigger than yourself, the implication is that you're a little diminished, little small, little weak, little fleck. Factually, sure, okay, we're floating around the space, good. But in our lives and in our days and in our minds and in the way that we behave in our lives, I don't think that we're small at all. I don't think that we think about every day like, screw it, what difference does it make? I'm just a fleck of dust. We behave as if we do make a difference. We behave as if we do matter. We are not trained and are not wired to, you know, have a stressful day at work and just be like, well, that makes total sense. Look at me, I'm a piece of shit. What do I, you know, most of us, ideally, if we have some sort of psychological substance and have, you know, done the work and aren't suffering from things like depression and feeling this way, and if we have a modicum of health and vibrancy in the psychological realm anyway, we don't feel like we're just screw it, because then there would be no reason to be moral at all, and yet we behave as if there is a reason to be moral. I mean, we behave as if there is a right and wrong. We can say, judgment, don't be judgmental. But the fact of the matter is that is the strength of us, is we do judge, and we should do it as best as we possibly can, so that we can be very clear on what we think is right, what we think is wrong, so that when we negotiate the world, we do that as with that as the backdrop. We are better informed, coming back all the way to knowledge, about when we hit a fork in the road. We have a darn better chance of making the turn that is more in line with who we are when we've already asked that question. So the why oh why title of this episode is simply this idea that that it is so essential to a good life, the question of why. It is, again, I'm going to say this again, opening up to potentially harder work, to struggle, to potentially greater pain. And yet with that means greater joy. I mean, let's face it, a blissful, joyful, meaningful life cannot exist in a place where you only see that and don't see the other stuff. When you open yourself up to more knowledge, when you are open to seeing the world and seeing your own actions, for instance, for real, factually what they are, not trying to. I was listening to something recently, or like going into a garden and saying, there are no weeds here, there are no weeds here. And yet the other option of that is, the other side of that is going into the garden going, okay, I'm seeing the weeds. Okay, what do I do about it? You know, it's like being very open to the strength that comes with seeing things as they are, not as you're hoping they are, but actually saying, okay, if this is what this is, then I'm going to deal with it, and having an answer as to why. That's the, to me, part of the ticket, part of the solution of living a good life in your family, in your work, in virtually every aspect of your life, is having that dialed in. So instead of saying, you know, I'm going to focus on something bigger than myself, I would say, try on the idea that you are going to grow yourself big enough to meet this thing head on.
Fainting and floating away. care for you, and I will never leave. Dreaming of better days than these. Dreaming of a tireless existence. I'm here for you, and I will never leave. I'm here for you.
There you've been.